I'm Steve McLeod, and you are listening to The Community Lounge, the podcast where community managers from the video games industry tell their story, talk about the challenges they face, and share tips to help other community managers do their job better.
Today, I'm joined by Victoria Tran, who does so many things I don't know where to start. She's the creator of the Community Dev newsletter, which you should be reading, and you probably are. She's the communication director at Inner Sloth, which are the creators of Among Us, and at Outer Sloth. She organizes the Wholesome Games Initiative, and if that's not enough, she's recently written a book, Mastering Community Management. Welcome to the show, Victoria.
Thank you for having me. Thank you for the lovely intro. Very nice of you.
I'm exhausted just saying all that. How do you manage to balance all this stuff? Is this all you do inside and outside of your work life?
You know, that is the secret of it all. The secret is to not actually have a life outside of whatever it is that you do. And I'm sure, you know, that's not unhealthy or anything. But no, I honestly...
Not making any judgment here.
It's honestly a lot. I don't know. It's a lot of fun. I do them because they bring me a lot of energy. I think a lot of burnout comes from, you know, when you're doing things that don't really fulfill you. But luckily, all those things seem to do that. So yeah, I've been pretty happy with it so far.
I think that is a perfect segue into my first question, which is, tell me how and why you became a community manager.
Oh gosh. Okay. So I always hated, you know, those people who talked about like, oh, I just fell into the job, because I was like, that doesn't make any sense. And then I fell into the job. So that's kind of how it worked. I basically, during university, was like getting like side jobs to pay my way through like getting my degree and renting a place. And at the time, a lot of startup companies were like, you're young. You know how to work social media, right? And I was like, sure, of course I do. I'm so talented at this. And so I would take these jobs, kind of learn on the job, like how to use Photoshop. And then like, of course I know how to post on Instagram and do that really well. And it worked out though, because I guess I was part of the like
because you were young.
I was using it. Yeah, I was using it. So I did actually know how to use it quite well. And that kind of kickstarted a career, I would say, in like marketing, when initially I was going to university for sociology, but specifically for healthcare. So I was going to go work in like hospitals and PR sort of thing. But once I graduated, decided I didn't want to do that, kind of had a whole thing where I was like, I'm just going to apply for as many jobs as I can in games, because that was something I was really passionate about. I was really hoping I could get in. And then that's kind of how it all started. I got a job working for like a games outsourcing company or game services outsourcing company, doing a little bit of community management for like a really big mobile game. And yeah, kind of just worked my way through that into indie and then just never left indie games.
Oh, that's a great story. If I may ask, what did your family think about you moving from sociology and wanting to be in healthcare to games? I think a lot of parents don't believe games is a real thing, a real job, right?
Yeah. Last week, my dad asked me when I would get a real job. So, you know, that kind of explains where they're at with that. They're still very happy for me, very supportive, but I think they don't understand it and they think it is still not really a job. They're not very sure. They're not sure, quite sure what I do yet.
We've got to show them the statistics and just how big the industry is.
I know, right?
Yeah. So you've been working in indie studios all along, most notably at Inner Sloth, but you've been, as far as I can tell, for years now. You've been really, you've been your home. So how did you get into Inner Sloth?
That one was funny. So I was working at another indie studio called Kit Fox Games at the time, and I've been like writing and publishing about community and whatnot. And allegedly, the story that they say was on their side was, as Among Us was like blowing up and stuff, the person that they were working with, Callum Underwood, was like, oh, like if you're looking for a community manager, that's like the first thing you should get because you have so many players now. Who would you want? And they were like, oh, someone like Victoria Tran would be really nice. And it feels really weird telling this story. I swear I'm not trying to like brag or anything. But they said someone like Victoria Tran. And he was like, well, have you tried asking her directly? They're like, no. Can we? And that's kind of how that started. They slid into my DMs on Twitter, X now, I guess. And yeah, they asked me if I would be interested in working on Among Us. And I wasn't honestly sure because at the time I was like, oh my gosh, I'm so bad at this game. I'm really bad at playing Among Us. I couldn't lie to save my life. I was like, I don't know. But I met them. I talked to them. And it was honestly lovely. And Among Us is and continues to be like a very big community platform. And that really, really interested me. And it was going to be a lot of fun to work on. So yeah, that's kind of how that all started.
Oh yeah, I'm terrible at it too. I remember playing it a few years back and yeah, and thinking like, well, how on earth am I supposed to do this? So I'm in good company. Did you get better at it over time?
And yes, unfortunately, I've gotten better at lying, I guess. But after playtesting it for so long and like playing it with the team and then playing it with other streamers, playing it with politicians, suddenly I'm like, I guess I'm kind of okay at this game now.
Wait, you played with politicians, like real famous politicians?
Yeah. So back in 2020, I think late October 2020, I don't know if you saw AOC, Alexandra. Oh my gosh. Yeah.
She's so famous, I don't even think of her as a politician. But yes, go on with the story.
Yeah. She randomly tweeted that she was going to play Among Us with a bunch of streamers. And a lot of people were like, oh my God, how did you manage to do that? And we're like, oh, that wasn't us. That was just random. Like, I wish we could take credit for it and be like, oh, we are so big brain and decided to do this entire thing. But no, it just randomly happened. And because I knew someone on the moderation team for her Twitch chat, they asked if I wanted to hop on. And I did. And that was a lot of fun.
Okay. So it kind of helped that Among Us was a really big thing at the time with the whole lockdown and so on. Yeah.
100%.
Okay. I'm going to move into asking you for some tips about community management. Like, when I first mentioned to people late last year about thinking of doing this podcast, people kept on saying, oh, have you asked Victoria Tran to be on the show? So I'm figuring that from this, you actually have something to share.
Oh, God.
So tell me, so you did say you kind of fell into being the community manager, but then you had to learn how to do it. How did you go about learning, or how do you go about learning how to do your job better?
Yeah, I mean, I have my own resources that I share online that people can look up, but I think when it comes to actually just learning community management, learning what to do, learning how to get better at it, it's all about just being really curious and in a way that is smart, not just being like asking questions and not letting the information sink in, but like going into like Twitter or TikTok or LinkedIn and seeing how people talk, seeing the kind of language that they use. And I know a lot of people will like make fun of it. Sure. Like, you know, some people will talk about LinkedIn and talk about the words that they use. But I think a genuine like curiosity and non-judgmental curiosity is very helpful when it comes to community management, just to see like, okay, like what are the topics that people talk about? Why are certain topics like more successful than others? And does that change over time? A really strong grasp on writing and being able to communicate online, like that's huge, I think.
How does one develop that?
That is done by one, writing yourself, I think, right? So this is part of like why I made so much content too, because I wanted to improve my writing. I wanted to make sure that I was being clear. I wasn't using too many words. I wasn't using too many complicated words. I wasn't, you know, dancing around a point. And that can be honestly in the form of writing tweets. So like really short copy basically, and writing longer copy. So like a devlog can be translated to something that I've written for like an article. So kind of practicing long and short form writing yourself. There's a lot of books out there. I think the book that I really like is called On Writing Well. I don't remember the author. It's a pretty famous book. But you know, it's a whole topic. There's so many books out there about writing and copywriting specifically. And honestly, I think just the bravery of putting yourself out there. So talking to people, going to events, trying to understand like what their issues are when it comes to community and marketing and what they're confused about, and trying to find that answer for yourself without necessarily being able to like Google the answer. So the way that I put it, right, is like part of what I write is like, I will Google it, But sometimes you don't get the same kind of information, like when you go find a book about a topic related to it. If you try to find a study that someone has done and like actually read that study, I think that gives you greater depth than like, you know, a listicle that's like 10 top ways to handle feedback sort of deal.
Yeah, this the ability to actually take in and remember that information in a useful way when it's a listicle is pretty close to zero.
Mm-hmm.
I like that. You mentioned Twitter. Do you remember when Twitter was only, what was it, like 140 characters?
Yes.
I kind of like that because it did force me to really make sure every word counted. Like to try and get mm-hmm. a message across in such few characters, I think was a really good exercise.
Yeah, I think that's the thing. It's like sometimes working with restrictions really helps like your brain kind of mold your words and figure out like what works and what doesn't. And yeah, it's too bad. Too bad. I mean, I was really happy when it became 280 characters because I was like, oh, thank God. But also I was like, the 140 did have a special kind of silliness to it.
So what I heard there is to write and write a lot. Every yeah. bit of writing is a piece of practice. To read helpful guides on how to write well, especially those geared towards copywriting. You mentioned going to events. I want you to go into that a bit more detail. What would you do at an event as somebody who's recently started as a community manager? How can you use an event to get better at your job? I assume we mean like an industry event.
Yes, I definitely mean an industry event. So, and this is provided, of course, you can afford to go to an industry event, all that sort of thing. But being able to go to like a convention and talk to developers, and not in a way where it's like you're trying to get a job, though maybe that comes out of it, but very much just like seeing the kinds of games that are out there, the ways that they talk about games. And you're going to hear me like say this so much. It literally is just listening to people talk about what they're working on and the kind of passion that they have for that, and thinking about how you can translate that into something that connects with other people. I find events just to be very helpful as a community manager because that way you also get exposed to different fields in gaming, right? So you need to know how a programmer works. You don't need to know how to do their job, obviously. That's impossible. Well, not impossible, but you have your own work. But you need to know like what an artist is doing. You need to know what a game designer is looking for. You need to know exactly what the priorities of each field is and kind of have an understanding of that in order to do your job better and in order to get feedback, get information to a development team that matters to them, because everyone has different priorities, which is great. That's why we have these different fields. And your job is to like kind of bridge that knowledge gap.
Great, great. You're not the first person who said that, the importance of talking to, or now maybe I heard a different angle on it, which is if you get a job as a community manager, talk to everybody. Just ask yeah. people if you're working on site and not remote, ask if each person one by one, if you can join them for lunch. And just ask them about their job and the tools they use. So, yeah, it's good advice. Good advice. I'm kind of going really quickly through the normal starting questions because I want to spend a lot of time on your book. So there's one more question I want to ask before we get to that. And for people listening who want to become a community manager but aren't there yet, do you have any like general advice on how they can move towards becoming a community manager?
Yeah, I would say that the best advice I can give is to just start. So similarly, when people ask like, how do I make a game? A lot of people are like, start making a game. Like go do a Unity tutorial, go do a game jam, try to create something and upload it to itch.io just so you see what that's like. And similarly for community management, I think there's a lot of opportunities for you to kind of get practical experience in community management. You know, you can read all you want, but if you're not actually doing the thing, then what's happening here. So that can be something like helping to moderate a Discord for a streamer that you really like. It could be doing some free online courses about digital marketing. It could be practicing your meme making skills and making like a goofy video in Adobe or whatever video editing application you have, or image editing application. It could be writing your own blog of game reviews, which, you know, is a little bit of PR too. It's basically just not thinking that because you don't officially have a job in community management, you can't do something that contributes to it or helps you build skills towards it. And hopefully, you know, it's something that you actually enjoy, so it doesn't feel like a burden on you to do. But that is my best advice for when it comes to wanting to just start, is that you have to start.
Just start. I like it. And I guess if you start and you do find it's a burden, then perhaps you're learning something very important that community management's not for you. But if you find that you can't wait to see the new messages on Discord each day and you can't wait to interact with the people that keep reappearing, then maybe this is the right thing.
Exactly. And I think that's a really good point to bring up. It's like sometimes it's just not for you, and that's totally okay. Like having a closed door helps open other doors. And a lot of people will see, like, you know, oh, it's like so fun just to make a meme and to talk to people, and they don't see the other side sometimes, mm-hmm. which is, oh, these people are really stressing me out right now.
Hey, listeners, a short interruption. When I'm not hosting the Community Lounge, I run Feature Upvote, a platform for managing player feedback. When you use Feature Upvote, your players can submit and upvote suggestions to improve your game in a single place. This gives you the data you need to develop a game that meets player expectations. And you can say goodbye to the confusion of trying to keep up with feedback scattered across discussions on Discord and Steam and Reddit. Learn more at featureupvote.com. Do you have any story of a challenge you faced as a community manager? It kind of touches on that theme. Some moment in which you've really not been wanting to turn the computer on in the morning.
Yeah, and I think I wouldn't say I'm struggling to answer this question. It's more that there have been a lot of situations where I've been like, oh God, I don't want to like open up my email today because it's going to be a problem. I would say there's been more than one time where, let's say, a specific community member, not really in a community member, just a player or players, have been angry over something, right? So, and this is not even necessarily with Among Us, it's been with smaller indie games as well. Like, they're unhappy about the content, or they're unhappy about a bug that's going on, and they are just constant. And that's the thing about community management, right? Especially when you have a lot of players, it's like, they don't sleep. Well, they do, but then there's other people in another time zone who are awake, and now they're angry at you. And because you're a community manager, you're the front-facing person. I think what people sometimes misunderstand is like it's that initial anger that they think is the thing that is really bothersome about being a community manager. No, it's the constant barrage. It's the, okay, after the like initial wave is over, actually it continues on. And I found myself in a situation where I was like, okay, this is happening for a really long time. I'm going through my own like personal bad day. And it's always when you have like your own personal stuff that you're working through that, like, you know, everything else piles on. I would say that like those moments have been quite difficult. And that's why it's also very important as a community manager to kind of find ways and boundaries in which you connect online. I think a lot of people think like because you're a community manager, you have to share everything about yourself online. And I found that actually having, for myself anyways, and it's different for everyone, having very strict boundaries about what I share about myself online is like very helpful for my mental health and for what people can quote unquote attack if like they're really annoyed about something. And being just very careful about that.
Yeah, that sounds like really, really sensible. And this is something you learned over time, or this is something you've done from day one about having the strict boundaries?
It is something that I've learned over time. I was never like an oversharer anyway online, but as more and more time like went by, I was like, okay, actually, like a lot of hobbies that I do, they're not content for the internet. That's just for myself.
Yeah, that's great. Great. So to some degree, you're almost destined to start putting on a facade. It's really, you can't be 100% genuine about every aspect of your life. You just can't do it, right?
Yeah. I don't know if I would put it quite worded as a facade, though. I think, and I forgot who said this, maybe it was Hank Green from like, but it's one of those things where it's like, everything that people get from me online is me, but I don't put everything online for people. So it's like, it's still me. I don't think I'm faking it. Like, I don't feel pressured to be one way or the other, but you don't get to know everything about me.
Yeah, it's great. Let's move on to your book. Mastering Community Management, subtitle Chaos, Compassion, and Connections in Games. You really like the letter C. Tell me why you wrote it.
Yeah, I wrote it because I thought it would be easier than it was.
Everybody says that about writing a book. How long have you been working on it?
That's like 2 years, maybe.
Oh.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be a year because I have my monthly newsletter. I was like, I can bang those out pretty fast. Like, how hard could a book be? Turns out pretty hard. But the real reason is I think, as you said, there's not a lot of resources online specifically for community management in games. That was why I initially started doing all of my writing, because I was like, well, no one's going to write. I guess I'll just share and hope like people can correct me if I'm wrong. Now that people are writing a little bit more about like community management, writing a little bit more about marketing in games, it's quite sporadic, like where you can get this information. There's no like set like course, let's say, or set way to kind of think about community management through the game launch process. And I wanted to have a little more streamlined version of that while also hopefully having it not be redundant as a resource, because as you know, and I'm sure everyone listening knows, it moves really fast. Technology moves so fast. Like, I think with it, while I was writing the book, like TikTok got banned for less than 24 hours. Twitter/X changed into X. And I had to keep editing my book. I was like, oh my God. So because of that kind of chaos, I wanted to try and make a resource that, like, no matter what happens, like whether or not this book comes out and now we have a new really big social media platform or something else happens and Discord is gone forever, there are still a lot of takeaways that you can use and apply to different platforms, to different communities and game launches that don't quite depend so deeply on like, this is how you Twitter good.
Right. Do you have, putting you on the spot here, but do you have a particular example of the type of advice the book might have regarding social media? If it can't give you specifics, do this on Twitter/X, do this on TikTok, what would be the more general advice you would give as an example?
Yeah. And this is, again, this goes back to like my first answer or it's one of your questions. It's, for example, like how to actually be in a space and see what words people are using and see what jokes people are making and actually apply that and like think about that and see how you can better integrate that not only into your own communications, but like as a suggestion to the development team as like a fun inside joke in your game, as like a nod to the players themselves. And just basically teach it. I wouldn't say it's teaching people how to be curious. I think that's very different, but I really do like C words. Just being able to more concretely like show people like the thought process of like, this is what I mean when I say like be curious, or this is what I mean when I say like look for the inside jokes and use them for something that can be really beneficial for your game in the long term.
Now, I forgot to mention that we're recording this in late April 2025, but the book is not yet available to purchase, but it's available to pre-purchase or order. Yes. Tell me more about that.
Yeah, so it is, well, let's see when it actually comes out.
Is it finished?
It is finished. It is finished. It's currently in the like pre-production phase the production phase of like making sure all the images look good and doing like the minor edits sort of thing. Shout out to my editor. It's currently available for pre-order. You can get it if you're in America on Amazon. And I think like certain European countries, it's also available on pre-order on Amazon. Or the website themselves, I think for CRC Press or Taylor & Francis. Or you can go onto my website, victoriatran.com/book, for all the easy links to pre-order. And it should be coming out July this year.
So July 2025, if you're listening to this in the future, then of course it's available.
It's already out and you can buy 50 copies.
You know, this is going to happen. You know, some studios, so just buy it and give one to each team member.
Oh, God, yeah. Honestly, it's kind of terrifying. And I'm like, I hope it's good. You know, it's like releasing a game where you're like, well, I hope this is good and people like it. If not, it's going to be very embarrassing.
I'm almost certain people will like it, but I understand this. Anytime you've released something that you've poured yourself into, it's human to really be worried about what people will think. But I think there's a lot of people looking forward to it. Tell me, why did it take 2 years instead of 1 year? What happened?
Well, several things happened. One is I grossly underestimated how many words you need to write. And the thing about making a community development newsletter, for example, is that if I get bored of a topic, I'm like, I'm done. I'm going to send out the newsletter. With the book, if I'm bored of a topic, I'm like, I got to keep writing. Uh-huh. I got to get through this writer's block and actually like get it forward. And then also like considering the structure. And this doesn't also, I also still have like all the things that you listed for my introduction. Like I still have my full-time job. I still have my side projects. So anytime something happened there, like obviously that's my priority. So anytime I was really busy, I couldn't work on my book. So yeah, that's that. This is my answer to the shame of, oh no, it took longer than I thought.
It's not shame. So you have the newsletter, which has been going on for what, a couple of years now, no?
Yes.
And to what degree is it content that started off in the newsletter, and to what degree is it brand new content? The book, that is.
I would say the book is like, I'd say it's 30% old content, not necessarily like old as in it's not relevant, but basically I have written articles and whatnot from the past that needed to be updated, honestly. And also as I've learned more, I'm like, okay, I actually need to tweak some of these things. So that's kind of what the book is. And then I would say, yeah, the rest is pretty new. I try to basically set it up as two separate sections. The first section being like, you know, a little bit of an introduction to community management, what it is, your role. And the second being a guideline for the community management activities you might face during all development phases of the game. So there's the, you know, pre-production phase where you're maybe not really doing too much because there's no game yet, there's no community yet, to the actual launch of the game, to the thing that people don't think about a lot, which is post-launch and all the community management that needs to happen there.
Okay, great. The book, it seems to me it's in physical format when I looked at the promotional site. Is it also going to be in digital format?
Yeah, there should be an ebook and there should be a softcover and hardcover version.
So give us a plug. Give us like a 30-second plug as to why we should buy your book.
Oh my gosh. You know, I haven't actually practiced my like elevator pitch for this. So everyone is going to get my first ever attempt and an elevator pitch for why you should buy this book. Yeah, so I think you should buy Mastering Community Management in games because, in my opinion, I think that any discipline can be better at their work when they better understand all of the moving parts in a game. And community management tends to be one of those things that feels like a black box. And I hope that this book kind of unveils more of what happens specifically and what you can do. So whether or not you're new, whether or not you're a professional, it kind of leaves you with something that you can take away from and has very specific activities that you can do. So it's not just like, here's a concept, but like, here's an actual activity you should do to try and work your way mentally through the ideas that I'm giving you, and also is a nice streamlined roadmap for how you should be thinking about community management for your game, for marketing, and especially if you are working on an indie game and all the weirdness that can come from that, it tries to tackle all of that.
That's not bad for your first attempt at an elevator pitch. So it's more focused towards the indie studios as opposed to AAA.
Yes.
Okay, that's great. That's great. Now the book's almost over and you've got a little bit of free time in your busy life. Is there another project you're about to jump into?
Yeah, most likely. I think the thing is like after I finished my book, I was like, oh, thank God. Now I can take a break and I can go do some other things. But I don't know what's wrong with my brain. Suddenly it's always like, oh, there's another thing you could work on. And I think what I really want to work on next, because like with all my work with Outer Sloth, and for a little bit of context for the listeners, Outer Sloth is an indie game fund that Inner Sloth made that I'm helping out with as well. And I think they're facing a lot of questions and confusion over how to actually hire a community manager and what they should look for. So I'm not going to write a book about that, but I'm trying to figure out a resource on like, okay, like how do you, if you don't know anything about community management yourself, how do you hire for one?
Oh, that's a great idea. Great resource. Yeah. As a business owner who sometimes needs to employ people, I know nothing about their job. I have this problem. Like I don't even know how to evaluate them. Mm-hmm. So this would be a great resource. Final question, by far the most important question in my opinion. What game have you been playing lately?
Oh my gosh. Okay. So I've been, and this has been taken, I think a lot of people, Blueprints.
Blueprints. Is that P-R-I-N-C-E?
Yes.
So this is the game from like a week, that was only launched a week or two ago.
Yes, yes. It's the one from, I think Raw Fury is publishing it. But it is like a puzzle roguelike game, I guess is the best way I can describe it. I've been playing that and it's so full of like little mysteries. You basically, what is it? Every day, like the rooms in the mansion that you're inheriting reset and you have to pick the different rooms to hopefully reach like this last room. I haven't gone super far into it, so I can't say what the ultimate like mystery is, but it is very fun so far.
Is it a time sink or a game I can use to pass an hour while I'm waiting for my daughter to come home from school, for example?
It's the latter. It has that very addictive, like, oh, just one more run.
Oh dear.
Kind of deal. So it's like, it could take the whole day, but it runs can be quite quick. So yeah, I would say you can definitely play it in between.
So that wasn't a hypothetical situation, what I just said. After we finish this call, I will be waiting for my daughter to come home and I think I'm going to check it out finally. I've been seeing it get mentioned around. I've been thinking, no, I'm not going to look at this. This sounds too much like the type of game I like.
Oh, yes. I've had to avoid games while I was working on the book because I was like, I will not work on this book if I play this game because it's going to be too addicting.
Exactly. Okay, Victoria, that's all we have time for today. Thank you again for being on the show.
Yeah, thank you for having me. It was a lot of fun.
Tell me again where listeners can get in touch if they'd like to know more about you and your work.
Yeah, so if you want to get my book, if you want to read my articles, or you just want a handy place to see everything I do, victoriatran.com is the website. I am also, as a community manager, on all of the social media platforms, on LinkedIn, the VTran for the URL, or on Blue Sky, Victoria Tran. I'm just everywhere. If you look up Victoria Tran, I'll be somewhere.
Okay, we'll have the link to that in the show notes as well as the link to the book so that people can either pre-order it or order it depending on what date they're going to the show notes and we publish this. Okay, thank you again. Bye, Victoria.
Hi, thank you.
Bye, everyone. Thanks again for listening to this episode of the Community Lounge. If you enjoyed this episode, please spread the word and share it with friends and colleagues who you think would also enjoy it. You can find all the episodes on your favorite podcasting platform or at featureupvote.com/thecommunitylounge.